This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Last August, a stunning report came out of the University of Michigan after 8 years of research. It found that powering automobiles with ethanol made from corn actually produced carbon pollution more than cars running on gasoline. Calls into question what the future of biofuels may look like. Our guest this morning led the research project with others at the U of M Energy Institute. We'd like to thank you for your time today, John DiCicco.
Great to be here, David.
Well, was the outcome of the research surprising to you?
The outcome itself was not surprising. We had been doing, for several years, theoretical work that indicated that we would be likely to find, once we looked at the field data, that there was very little direct benefit from using ethanol or biodiesel for fuel, that when you factored in the indirect impacts, that the picture would get much worse. So even though we hadn't put previously a number on it, the direction in which the results would come out was not a surprise to us.
It does kind of fly in the face of most of the research on corn-based ethanol to this point. We'd certainly heard that it might be net neutral, but certainly not the way it came out this way. Did your team take a different approach to the way it analyzed the biofuel and its carbon output?
Yes, we did. And that really will get us into the crux of the issue. What had been done previously and what really is still the most common way of analyzing the issue is a form of computer modeling known as life cycle analysis. And the first thing I want to say about that is that it is computer modeling. In other words, it uses computers and algorithms that are partly science-based, but also fold in lots of assumptions to try to represent what's going on in the world. However, models always need to be checked against reality in some way. Amazingly, that had never been done. Over 20 years of this kind of life cycle modeling, none of the government researchers that have been doing this for years at places like Argonne National Laboratory in Illinois had actually gone out and compared their modeling results with what was actually happening in the real world.
How is your process different than the life
cycle
analysis?
My process does not rely very much at all on computer modeling. We went and looked at data about tailpipe emissions from cars based on the fuel they used, and then we went and looked at the cropland data. We got a standard database called the Annual Crop Production Statistics from the U.S. Department of Agriculture that goes into great detail about how much corn, how much soybeans, how much wheat, how much cotton, and so on down the line is planted on cropland every year, how much gets harvested. So we went directly to the field data that was relevant for figuring out the net effect on how much carbon dioxide goes into the atmosphere.
And came up with an entirely different
result. And we came up with an entirely different answer, yes.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with research professor John DiCicco, who led an 8-year research project at the U of M Energy Institute that concluded ethanol made from corn actually produces more CO2 than cars running on gasoline. Now, we've talked about this life cycle analysis. As you well know, just in January, the USDA reaffirmed its commitment to that process. Based on that, are we ever going to get data that matches yours?
Yes, I think we will, but it's going to be a slow process. When you do work of the type that I've done that questions basic assumptions and goes and gets data that haven't been looked at previously in the way that, you know, we looked at them for checking what's going on with CO2, it often takes a while for those results to be accepted by certainly those parts of the research community that have been doing things a different way for many years. And in this case, there's the added complication that my results are challenging the politically correct, shall we say, understanding among policymakers, researchers, and certainly those in the biofuel industry and the corn growers and soybean growers.
Well, we've moved from scientific data now into potential major financial implications for America's corn growers.
Correct is that there are literally billions of dollars resting on whether biofuels are better for the environment or not. The prevailing wisdom has that is that they would be better for the environment. And now here, you know, I'm coming along, not the first person to raise the issue, but the first person to do it in this really data-driven, facts-on-the-ground manner that I believe will eventually undermine any kind of extensive business case for biofuels for the foreseeable future.
The USDA, again, is committed to its life cycle assessment approach. It says the greenhouse gas profile of corn ethanol will be 50% lower than gasoline in 2022 if current trends hold, and they say it will be 76% if it adds conservation strategies. You totally disagree.
I very much disagree. As I said, they are still using the same computer models, same life cycle models that were never verified, actually models developed by the Department of Energy. And if you trace back the history on some of this modeling, it comes from Argonne National Laboratory, a taxpayer-funded kind of big think tank in Illinois, who have worked very closely with the corn growers and ethanol industry for many years. And they've been in this box that is based on promoting biofuels, and they keep generating results that are next step versions of their previous results, all of which for many years have claimed that corn ethanol produces lower net CO2 emissions than gasoline. Again, it comes down to the fact that they're using computer models that were never properly tested and turn out to be incorrect.
Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with U of M research professor John DiCicco for this week's installment of Issues of the Environment. Based on your findings, what would be your recommendation for biofuel policy, and in particular policy for corn-based ethanol?
From an environmental perspective, I don't think there's any doubt that it should be phased out, that this was a big mistake. I was called to Washington to testify on the topic twice over the past year, and of course recommended that this policy was flawed and should be reconsidered. A lot of people, not just myself, are raising more and more questions about the wisdom of this approach that the country took beginning 10 years ago to try to really ramp up biofuel production.
And for all that we've invested in the biofuel industry and getting to the place we are today, where would you suggest those efforts be reallocated in moving forward?
The best way to use land to help the climate is to grow more trees, especially in places like Michigan, which were naturally forested. The best thing to do is, since plants, vegetation, trees, crops, whatever, they take CO2 out of the atmosphere when they grow, once a plant removes CO2 from the atmosphere, at that point, that carbon is out of the air into some what we call fixed form organic compounds, carbon-based materials, biomass. And at that point, one is as ahead of the game as you're ever going to be with respect to keeping excess CO2 out of the air. So we should have programs that essentially respect the fact that once plants take CO2 out of the air, it's best to just leave it be. And the best way to do that right now is really reforestation, especially in our region. Other regions, it could be grassland restoration, prairie restoration, better management on rangelands out west. It's going to be very location specific. The last thing we should be doing is taking that CO2 that crops have photosynthesized into biomass of some form, and then harvesting it to burn and send back up into the air just for the sake of leaving fossil carbon in the ground. Because just swapping it biomass for fossil carbon itself doesn't mean less carbon goes into the air. So this is true whether it comes to ethanol or biodiesel made from corn and soybeans, respectively. It's also true for bioenergy. We should not be cutting down trees to burn in power plants, which is unfortunately also happening in this state. We should really just be sequestering the carbon by letting forestry grow, managing our land to rebuild the natural ecosystems that can store so much carbon and that were here before we cut them down into cropland and other purposes. But I believe, as the facts become better appreciated, over a period of years, we'll realize that a big investment in biofuels was a big mistake.
Thank you very much for your time today. Much appreciated.
Okay, you're quite welcome, David.
That is John DiCicco, a research professor at the University of Michigan Energy Institute. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and heard only on 89.1 WEMU.